his class in.
Okay, we're continuing in the Tanya. We're on page 283 on the lower left-hand side in the Shar HaYichud V'Amuna from Rav Yoel Kahan's edition. And God willing, we'll finish this long perek. And Tanya's been talking about the different machinations of how he's able to create this tzimtzum. He's talking about the combinations of letters. He's talking about switching of letters. He talks about gematrias. And these are all ways of how the tzimtzum is created. So he's on the gematria now, and that's the last point. And he's going to explain, at least from a philosophical point of view, what gematria accomplishes in terms of looking at a gematria. In other words, this is all not just little games, you know, oh, word games, atbash, we change the letters, and this and that. We look at the gematria. So this is going to give us a little insight into what the purpose of gematria is. So continuing at the words of the Tanya, when he talks about the idea of cheshbon ha'osios, the calculation of the letters. The cheshbon and the calculation, Moira, it teaches us, it shows al miut ha'or v'achius, and the limitation of the light and life force that is penetrating in. Miut achar miut, one limitation after another. Ad shel nishar mimenu ela bechina achrona, until it's all left, is what is called the last aspect. No, the last amount of energy, the lowest amount of energy. Shu bechinas hacheshbon, that's the aspect of the calculation, umisper, and the number. Kama mine kochos umadregos klulos beor vechius hazeh, telling us how many forces and levels are incorporated in this life, light and life force. Hamalubash b'tzirav zeh shel tevazu, that is enclosed in this combination of this word of the letters of it. Explains the commentary. Ka'amur, as has been said, kol prat b'loshna kodesh meduyak, every detail in the Hebrew language, the holy tongue, is precise. The fact that every letter has a numerical value is dealing with a spiritual concept. Regarding our aspect here of tzimtzum, in every letter from the 10 utterances, there are divine forces. Kloimer, meaning to say, every letter has many details, such as tsurasa, its shape, shma, its name, mispara, its numerical value, etc. V'kivin shebalashon hakodesh hakol meduyak, and since everything in the holy tongue is precise, chen kol prat ba'os mora al inyan v'darga acheres b'chius halokhi shebo, every detail of a letter teaches another aspect and another level of the divine life force that is in it. Ladugma, for example, Ha'os Aleph. Let's take a look at the Aleph and in how many ways we can try to understand the Aleph. First of all, Tzurasa. What's the shape of an Aleph? What is an Aleph? Well, if you look at it carefully, an Aleph is a Yud Milamala. It's a Yud on the top. For Yud Milamata and a Yud on the bottom. For Kav Ba'ensa and a line in the middle. Right, you really have a diagonal vav with a yud on the top and a yud on the bottom. Okay, that's one thing, which, by the way, that gematria is 26, is the name of Hashem. Okay, that's one aspect. Shema, its name is Aleph. Aleph, Lamed, Fe. So that's what it's called. And Mispara, and its gematria of the Aleph is Echad, is one. So there's three separate aspects of looking. Every letter has that. Every letter is a combination of things. Even the shape is a combination of things. Muvervisvarim, the holy books explain, there is a specific, unique content that is expressed in the shape of an aleph. Tochen acher hanirmaz b'shem aleph. There's another content that's hinted to in the name Aleph. And also the numerical value of it teaches about the quantity of the forces that are in it. It's almost, you know, if you're talking about like describing elements in the periodic table, you know, it's got, I forgot what it's called, the number. What,
the valence?
I don't know what it's called. There's a number. There's a number of protons and neutrons. That's a valence. I guess it's gematria. I don't know. I guess it's gematria, right? But so whatever that is, right? So you got the letter of H, you know, for hydrogen, and you know how what's its atomic structure. Oh, so it's a similar idea. Well, that where do you think that all came from? It's coming from the letters. It's coming from the Hebrew letters. Exactly, that's what it's coming from, right? So there's different aspects of the letters that are being defined with these different ways of looking at a letter. Now, this last one, V'inyan Zeh, and this last one, Hu B'china Achrona, it's the last aspect, Shabbat. Shar Inyanei O Shayichus L'tochen Os Ve'chusa, the other aspects of the letter fit into the content of the letter and its quality. But the gematria is only its quantity. There's the quality, how much quality of Hashem's presence and life force is in it. And then there's another aspect of the quantity. That's what Tanya says. How many forces and levels Yeshbos are in a letter? So you're dealing with quality of the divine energy and the quantity of it. Valpiza, based on this, Inyan Acheshbon, the concept of this numerical value, Moral Tzimtzum Gadol B'Yoser B'Chizalikus, that reveals a greater Tzimtzum in the life force of Hashem. Miyud Achar Miyud, a diminution after diminution. Kasher Hachius Magia Me'Osios B'Oven Yashir, since the life force comes directly out of the letters, Nirgashus B'Osios Achias Shalamidas Hamulbashus B'Em, you're going to feel with the life force of the letters based on the characteristics that are enclosed in them. V'gam kasher ha'osios, yordos al yidei chilav osios. And as the letters come down by exchanging letters, shos nasa helam al amidos amalubashos bi'osios, there creates a concealment that's enclosed in the letters. V'gam ha'gam achios yoredos misam semes. So too the life force goes down and contracts. Mikol makom, when in other words, he's talking about the difference now. Let's say we're exchanging a letter, atbash. So we're changing letters, there's still a great quality of the letters. And that's when you're changing an aleph for a tough. A tough has an element of the name and of shape, has a great amount of quality. Which is, in other words, he's saying there's less constrained then with the gematria, which is just a number, which is just a quantity. When you're exchanging, okay, from letter to letter, because there's still similarity of them in content and in quality. That's when you're making exchanges of letters. But when you're discussing the gematria, is not revealing really the content of the letters, just the quantity of it. So we'll call it, you know, every Hebrew letter has its atomic weight, we'll say. So how much does it weigh, but not the quality of it, right? You know, just like, I guess when you look at different elements, you know, hydrogen versus chves, oxygen or boron, all different. You know, there's a quality of what that element is. Then there's the weight, the atomic weight that it has. All right, so that's telling you how much energy is of the from the atoms is involved, but it doesn't tell me about the quality of it.
Quantity is a precise number. Quality, how do we determine that?
Well, you'd have to have different types of mechanisms to determine it. You know, there's ways if something produces heat.
But there are assigned, obviously, qualities. How do they start with?
I don't know. I'm not enough of a chemist to let you know that. But this chemistry of the Hebrew letters is what's coming out over here. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shehakol nehiyah bidvaro. Okay, so Masha Enke, where am I up to now? Masha Enke na Cheshbon, which is not so when it comes to Gematria, Enim Avates Tochen Shal Osos El Rakas Akam. Yeah, I said that already. So it's only the quantity. As Erech HaMis Per Shehem, the numerical value of it. Valley game, still in all. Gamat Sara Kama Shal Akocha Sheba Osios Osiris Maros Ukoch Eloki. But even this lower level of quantity is still a divine force. And also creatures come into being from that limited divine force. But on the other hand, these creatures that are created just from the numerical values, they don't have in their content of the letters only just the quantity and the superficialness, as it were, of them. They're much lower level creatures. You don't really is revealed to them so much of its greatness of it. He's going to give an example in a minute. But now, so you hear what he's saying. He's saying that Gematria is the lowest level of understanding the divine force that's coming out, only in a quantitative form. And therefore, a lot more is constrained. Now, Mavara Admar Zogim is Sograim. Now the Rebbe is going to explain in a bracket. Shalut Zerich. His Havus Nivraim Nechus and Beyoser. Kamo Avonim Vaofer Adomim Yisrak Vachol Shalvi Yatsim Shoskuru. So therefore, in order for Hashem to create lower level existing things like rocks and earth or inanimate objects, there is the need for these different levels of tzimtzum. You know, there's when you look at a person, either even though there's a great amount of tzimtzum, you could see some divinity easier in a person. Person behaves in a divine fashion. You could see, right? You could see in animals less, in plants less, in rocks the least. As a matter of fact, you might not notice anything. So there's less of that divine energy that is now being revealed in there. But that's what the brackets are going to tell us now. Continue with the words of the Tanya. So after all these constraints, as Hashem's wisdom decreed, that enables the divine force to be enclosed even in lower level items such as stones, earth, and inanimate objects. Says the commentary, only after all these constraints, now you have this last one of the gematria. And now that you have this, and the gematria is your last one, therefore, the divine energy can also penetrate into inanimate objects with a lot of tzimtzum. And the reason why the tzimtzum has to be this way, because that's the way God decreed it. Okay? In other words, Hashem decides what types of items reveal more or less of Hashem. And therefore, He puts so much energy in them as required. Why? That's Hashem's business. Why does a rock show less? That's Hashem's business. Why does a plant show more? That's Hashem's business. Now the Rebbe is going to give an example with the stone. So let's move on to the next page, to the Tanya's words on 285. Ki Evan, Derech Marshall, let's take for example a stone. Shma, its name, Moira teaches Ki Shrosha, its root. Where's Evan come from? Mishem Ha'oila, from the word that comes from Bain, Even, Aleph, Beis, Nun. The last two letters are Beis, Nun, Sofis, which is Ben. Okay, B'mispero, in number. But we're not looking now at the letters, because we're going on a lower level now. We're only looking at the Gematria. So it's Gematria is 52. But there's also an Aleph before it. Va'od Aleph, Nosefes, Mishem, Acher. The Aleph extra from another name. And Hashem only knows why and what and all that. He's not giving you more explanation. Okay, so now commentary. But he's just telling how Evan, you see, it's the Gematria plus the Aleph, which whatever Hashem, you know, that's what Hashem wants it to work with. Hashem Evan, Murkov, Evan is a combination, Meosios, Bein, Beis, and Unsofis, Bitsirvos, Aleph, Mishem Acher, with a combination of the letter Aleph comes from another holy name. What does this teach us? Shechius ha'evan hu mishem bein. The main life force of an evan is from the letters Beis Nun. Shu echad me'ashem es ha'kadoshim avers b'tars ha'kabbalah. Beis Nun is also a holy name in Kabbalah. V'shem zeh b'tzuras b'tzeruv ha'os aleph mishem acher. And it's also in combination with the letter aleph that comes from another holy name. Hema makor li savus evan. This is the source of the existence of the stone. Im tchunose amiyuchadus lo, with its own unique characteristics. Vasibul kach sheshem evan murkav v'shtei shem ushanim. And the reason why Hashem had to combine two different names of Beis Nun and Aleph that are different. Humitame delisa. That's only Hashem knows why he picked this and that. Liyotzer evan, to create a stone. Only Hashem knows that that's what's necessary. In other words, this is way beyond what we're able to understand. Continues the Tanya. Now, v'hine, shem Beis Nun, this name of Beis Nun, may answer by itself, hu balomas elyonim od, it comes from the highest worlds. Rak, Beis Nun is a very high, powerful name of Hashem. Rak, shalidei tzimtzumim, but when we go through after a lot of tzimtzum, only a little bit of that really holy force gets out. Until it encloses itself in a stone. What's Beis Nun in its source is big business. The letter, the formation, all that, it's big stuff up there. But as it comes all the way down, all that comes out is the Gematria 52. Gematria 52 with the holy name of Aleph.
That includes the Aleph or not?
No, 52. No, and then there's the Aleph from another name where we don't understand what it's all about.
Yeah.
But that's what creates it. Tanya. In a shame based nun, I did that already. Commentary. L'chaira. Her a shame based nun b'shrasha. If you look at the based nun in its holiest root, Hidarga Lokis Nalas Biosa, it's a big, big level. How do you get an inanimate stone from a holy letter with so much energy and so much revelation of Hashem? The answer is what?
It's a name of Hashem.
It's one of Hashem's forces. Name of a force of Hashem, very high up. It has to go through a lot of tzimtzum. That's the answer. That has goes through a lot of tzimtzum. V'achem, but shame Beis Nun nikra kach. It's called Beis Nun. Rak b'neisha ercha mispari hu chamesh v'chem. Because its numerical value is 52. K'chesh v'n shame havaya b'miloy ha'hein. This compare corresponds to Hashem's name Yud Hei Vav Hei when you fill it in with the Vavs, with the Aleves. As we've discussed before, the name of Hashem, Yud He Vav He. The Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalet, right? So let's go make a calculation. Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. What's the Gematria of Yud Vav Dalet? 20. Okay, then you got a He. Okay, with just a He alone is 5, but you're going to add to it. Then a Vav. Vav is, well, it could be Vav, Vav, right? That's 12. And then you got another Yud.
No, 5 and 6. Okay, 12.
What?
Hey, is spelt.
We'll have to see in a minute.
It's 57.
And you got a Yud, which is 20.
20.
So we got to see how you're going to get 52. Now we're doing with Milui Aleph. So, So in other words, you could fill it in. So it's like this: yud hey vav hey. So again, the yud.
There's only one yud.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Again, the yud is 20. Yud vav dalet is 20. Look at 191 right at the bottom, right at the end of yud, right at the last in the bracket there. Yud is 20.
Yeah.
Hey can be spelled hey aleph, or hey hey.
Yeah,
so we'll spell it hey hey. That's 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but together it's 10, 32.
Okay, 30. Okay, vav is vav, vav is 12, is 42. And hey, hey, hey is another 10, is 52.
Mm-hmm.
That's if you fill it in with hays. You could fill it in with olives and other things, you know, different numbers. So 52 is the name of yud, hey, vav, hey, and it's filled in with olives. Again, yud is yud, vav, dal is 20. Hey, hey is 10. Vav is vav, vav is 12. Hey is 10. That's 52. So you got the name of Hashem is in its root, okay? But it goes through a lot of tzimtzumim. Dover zeh toim lemavur leil. This fits into what we said before. Shekasher achius mitzumtzumus v'yoser humisvadas bekamos hakocha shebosis bovad. That the lowest level of tzimtzum, or the greatest amount of tzimtzum, is when you only find out the numerical value and its number of kochos. So even though you're starting with a very holy name of Hashem, but as it comes down, you're only extracting out of it just the numerical, the atomic weight, and that's it. And that's how you're able to have a lower level item that exists. It's not taking away the fact that it comes from Hashem, and it's all Hashem, and all these things. But what do we see? That, remember, we're going into the fact of what do we see. Tzimtzum is what we see. Well, he says a rock doesn't do anything. Yeah, but a rock has to come from Hashem, which is big stuff. Yep, so there's a lot of tzimtzumim. And we use the tzimtzum of gematria to allow in the least amount of divinity to our eyes to see.
But there are many more words that would have the same gematric value, 52.
Right.
So they're all the same thing then.
Well, in terms of how much forces are coming out,
right from...
but they could be different kinds of forces, different types of forces, a force that doesn't move, a force that does move, a force that grows.
You also got God's name twice, 26 times two.
Whatever. But we're just dealing with numbers. We're dealing with how much force.
Yes.
But that doesn't tell us anything about the quality of the
quality.
Force. And it's a very low quality. That's the point.
Yeah.
But it's a low amount of divinity. But the quality of a rock is different than the quality of water.
Yeah.
For example, right? There's a lot of how about metal?
Yeah.
They're all inanimate. You got metal. You got a rock. You got different things. So they're made differently, and they have a certain amount of forces. But it's the least amount of have Hashemness. Is apparent to them. So now it continues the Tanya. Vizuhi nefesh hadomim. This is the soul of the inanimate. Hamachaya umahavaso that gives it life and existence. Mi'ayin leish from nothing to something. B'chol rega every moment, as we explained. It's still being energized every moment. That rock, as much as you think it's doing nothing, again, and atomically, we know there are all kinds of protons and neutrons running around.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's how much force is running around there.
Yep.
So it's very much alive, so to speak, in its realm of existence.
Yes.
Because there's kochos, there's atomic weight that's running around, that's being there, but it doesn't really show very much. Okay, we can skip the commentary. It's all saying the same thing. Let's move on to 286. Vizui bechinas. Memali kol almin. This is the aspect of we've been explaining all along, that he fills all worlds. Masha ein kein bechinas sovev kol almin, which is not the case of sovev kol almin, that he surrounds the worlds. Remember, those were the two terms.
Yeah.
Commentary. Chiyuzet, this life, hametzumtzemes, that is constrained. He dargis memali kol almin. That's the memali. That's what Hashem is filling the world with. Hashem fills with different amounts of tzimtzum. Shehim lubeshes betocha nivra, it's enclosed within the creature, umamalso begoli, and is revealed, it fills it in a revealed way, but not much. or less, more or less. Ad shetchunas hanivra mugbalas hein b'atem utzimzeh. Until the nature of that creature is exactly, that's limited, fits into the tzimtzum that's there. So you could tell me, well, Hashem is filling this world, this rock, with only so much revealed energy. Less revealed energy. So much spiritual atomic weight. That's what he's mamala. He fills it. Mash'en kein dargas. So in common, we're talking about filling the world, surrounding the worlds. Even though the one who fills the world gives life to the world, since it's not revealed openly, it's not revealed in its inner content, he begets her sovit. That's like surrounding. This is the end of this bracket in explaining inanimate objects. The sovev of Hashem is unbelievably powerful. The sovev, even for a stone, is unbelievable. It's coming from the highest level of what Beis Nun is, and an olive. But after it's been cut down to size, this is what's filling in the world. That's how much fills in the world to our awareness. To our awareness. Okay. Now, let's skip the little introduction. Just go down to the bold letters. The final words of the Tanya. V'kol koch madrega, every force and level. Yachal livro bruim can create creatures. Kefi b'chinas madrega, so based on that level. Gam kein la'ein case, unlimited. V'tachlis b'kamusam v'chusam l'hachusam ariad. With unlimited differences of quantity and quality. V'achshu koch Hashem ha'mispashe, because it's a force of Hashem that spreads out. V'netzal meruach pivit comes distilled from Hashem's mouth, as it were, the wind of His mouth. V'ematzer, nothing can hold it back. Actually, yeah, echusim b'mal gadol kol kach be'echus umalus, but in order achshelo yeah echusim b'mal gadol kol kach, but their quality shouldn't be of such a high level. Ke'echus umalus bruim shiuch levros be'bechinas koch madregas shos ba'atzman, then ones that come from the letters itself. In other words, he's saying these lower ones come from a certain level, but they don't have the same amount of as other creatures have. They're coming more from the essence of the letter or the mouse of the letter.
Quality.
It's different amounts. Commentary: Kivin shechesh ben osios hurach b'chinas kamos. Since the gematria is only the quantity, b'chinach rona shabos, only the last level. So any yachal havas has kol sugan ivraim ela rakafi b'chinas b'chinas. So it can't really create a lot of creatures except on this low level. Only lower level creatures can come out of this aspect, like the inanimate objects. As opposed to other creatures that come out of the essence of the content of the letter, the shape of the letter, what the letter is spelled out as. But since this, even this lowest level of gematria is a detail of a letter, it's still part of a letter. It's coming from a divine force that's an infinite force. In other words, the divine force of the letters is infinite.
Yeah.
We're only letting a little aspect of the divine force come out of that. And therefore, it can also create from this level creatures that are not limited at all. Things that could be forever. If Hashem wanted to create a forever object, He could. This type of creatures, they could be infinite, without any limitations, quantity or quality. For example, Osir Shem Beis Nun. You go back to that name of Beis Nun. When we only look at a gematria, Bitsura Ha'os Aleph, when you combine it with the letter Aleph, Mishemach for another name, Yochol Yos Avonim Bavad, could be stones alone. That's true. Ela Shebesuga Avonim Asvo, but in the category of stones, Yochol Tziruf Tevis Evan Lahavos Avonim Gedolos Bekamos, Ubechos Echos Ariab. But you could make an infinite rock.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be in this world. It's theoretically, but you know, this is the whole thing. Can God create a rock? He can't pick up. You know, that's the Greeks thing. In other words, don't think that you only have a rock this size. You could have a rock as big as infinity. It could be.
Yeah.
Not, but Hashem chose it shouldn't be that way. They say, well, all a rock could be is this little rock. No, a rock could be anything. If Hashem wanted to invest more into the rock, it could have been more into the rock. And that ends the seventh chapter of Baruch Hashem. But he was trying to explain, and he did explain very well, how you get low-level creatures from an infinite reality. Okay, God willing, we start the next chapter next week.